to talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
It is that. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Arvel Looking Horse is coming up shortly. And let me tell you a little bit about who you're about to hear. Arvel Looking Horse was born on the Cheyenne River Reservation in South Dakota in 1954. Raised by his grandparents, Lucy and Thomas Looking Horse, he learned the culture and spiritual ways of the Lakota. He speaks both Lakota and English. At age 12, he was given the enormous responsibility of becoming the 19th generation keeper of the sacred white buffalo calf pipe, the youngest in history. He has felt on many occasions overwhelmed by inheriting such a responsibility of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota nations at such a young age. He was raised in an era and lay witness to the suppression of his people's spiritual practices. He decided to work for change and let the world know how beautiful our way of life is, so the seventh generation can have a better future. His life has revolved around his commitment to work toward religious freedom, cultural survival, and revival. In 1986, as one of the spiritual leaders of the Bigfoot Riders, they initiated a prophecy known as Mending the Sacred Hoop of the Nation. Chief Looking Horse honored the healing journey by riding with the Bigfoot Riders every December 15th through the 29th in rather severe temperatures, which all the committed Bigfoot Riders endured to understand the immensity of the hardship of Chief Bigfoot and his band. In 1993, Chief Looking Horse traveled to New York with the elders of different nations for the United Nations Cry of the Earth Conference, where he did the opening prayer. That was at the UN. The unprecedented nations and people's organizations invited him to Holland, Netherlands, there to pray for peace and unity in 1994. The birth of the sacred white buffalo in Wisconsin in 1994 directed him to begin yet another spiritual journey of a four-year commitment to organize World Peace and Prayer Day on June 21st in the four directions, bringing awareness to the prophecies with a call to secure the sacredness of the sacred sites that dwell every 100 miles around Mother Earth. There is much more to tell about him coming up in just a few moments. Arvel Looking Horse. Chief Looking Horse also assists in retrieving the remains of the ancestors from museums like the Smithsonian, continues to work toward the repatriation of sacred bundles and human remains in an effort to bring respect and ritual rites back to the sacred. His work has been endless in lecturing on religious freedom, protection of sacred sites, and cultural survival. His living legacy is to bring pride and restoration back to the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota lands, culture, and spirituality. Here is Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Chief, welcome to the show.
Oh.
It is such an honor to have you here. Where are you now?
Right now I'm in Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth, Minnesota.
I'll be speaking at the universities here.
I see. Chief, are you, in fact, the chief of the, why, are you the chief of the Lakota?
Yes, I am a chief of the Lakota, Dakota, Nakota Nation.
Of three nations?
No, this is all like a Sioux Nation.
Sioux Nation.
Yeah.
All right, chief, you were given the pipe, the sacred white buffalo calf pipe, at 12 years old. Why were you given that at 12?
The pipe was like passed down through generations, and in our way we believe in our ceremonies and we believe in our dreams and visions. So that's how that came about, when my grandmother Lucy Looking Horse was the keeper at the time, and when she journeyed into the spirit world in 1966, I was the next person, because she had a dream that I would be the next keeper. And it skipped my father. My father's name is Stanley Looking Horse. And then that's how that came to be.
So you received that pipe because of her vision, her dream.
Yes. It stays in the bloodline. It stays in the bloodline and goes with her. The dreams that it goes with our ways.
I talked to you just about an hour before we went on the air, and one of my best friends just died, I mean minutes before I went on the air.
Mm-hmm.
What do people of your nation believe, Chief, about people who pass on, who die? What is your spiritual belief about us as spiritual beings? What do you think happens to us?
We go into the spirit world, and one of the seven sacred rites that came with the sacred white buffalo calf pipe is the spirit releasing ceremony. And we keep that spirit for 1 year, and then that's the last of the seven sacred rites. So the ceremony is to, in our way, we keep that spirit for 1 year.
Does that mean that you believe that the spirit remains earthbound for 1 year?
Yes, we put in a little teepee. On the teepee, then we keep that. It's a whole ceremony that consists of the spirit, and we believe that the spirit is in our hair. So we keep when a person dies or goes into the spirit world, then we would take some
hair,
and do a we have to go through a ceremony with this. And then the spirit, we have to feed that spirit every day, just like feeding a person. And then we do this for a whole year. And after 1 year, we do a spirit releasing ceremony where we would allow that spirit to go into the spirit world. And then this the people, they would all come together and then honor the family. By honoring the family, they would give the family the spirit food, which is dry meat. We say wasna is spirit food. And then cherry juice and water. And then the sacred pipe, or the pipe. They have a ceremony, and then they pray with the family to the four directions, Great Spirit, Mother Earth. And then a spiritual leader would talk to the family to let that spirit go into the spirit world. And that way, we would feel good inside. That's what the spiritual leader would say. No, you have to let that spirit go, because you can't keep him. It's going to you'll have different feelings. So you have to let that spirit go. and then you'll feel good. You have to, because you got some children, you got some grandchildren. You're going to have, you have to think about them.
Yes.
So that's what he would talk to the family with this. With this in mind, and then so after the whole ceremony and talking to the family, then they would welcome him, welcome the family back into the Teoshpai, the camp, or the people, so that they would have a good feeling with the people.
Chief, I come from a Christian background. I'm not a very good Christian. I don't go to church. I hope that there is a God, a creator. But I'm not sure in my heart, my mind. I'm just not completely sure. And I have great envy for those who are sure, and they can grab their faith like a pillar, like a strong pillar, and hold on to it at moments like these for me. But I don't have that exactly. And what do you believe is the nature of the spirit world? What is the nature of the spirit world? Does this mean that our consciousness, do your people believe that our consciousness continues, that we continue in some form that we understand now, or a completely different form?
The way we believe is up there in the sky, it's called the Milky Way. And
yes.
They have to make that journey. It's a spiritual journey that they have to make. And then for us, like our relatives, that's where the spirit world is to journey into the spirit world. And that's why... Like in our stories and everything that was handed down through the ceremonies, and now we go, when we live a spiritual, with this teachings of the sacred pipe and the four stages of our life, then the last one is this spiritual journey.
What are the four stages of our life?
Our stories and ceremonies goes way back into the first creation. So there's a lot of stories that from the first creation to then. So the four stages of our life is the becoming a spirit that comes upon Mother Earth, and then the spirit. The family, father and mother, or a man and a woman, would pray for the spirit to come, and then the spirit would, a child would come, and then the first stage is Wakayaja. Wakayaja is a sacred being. And the second stage is become a young man or young woman. And there's a ceremony that is done at the age of 12 where you become a young man or young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is sacrificing yourself to the tree of life, which is the sun dance. And because we honor this cycle of life, and we are part of the cycle of life. And we are part of a spirit of our relatives. So unless, before we pray or after we pray, we say, Mitakuye Uyasni. That means all of our relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we believe is the cycle of life, and we are part of Mother Nature.
So then the fourth cycle is...
Then the last one is Ka'ihoni, is being an elderly person. So we have to make that journey upon Mother Earth, the four stages, as the white buffalo calf woman said, you walk upon Mother Earth in a sacred manner. That means, that's what she said, that you make this journey upon Mother Earth. You're going to do the ceremonies, the four ceremonies. And it goes back to the time when she brought the sacred bundle. She stopped four times on the hill. And each time she rolled over and stood up, she became different. The first one is a black buffalo. The second one was a red one. The third one is yellow. And the fourth one is a white one. She went over the hill as a white buffalo calf, so they call it the song, the white buffalo calf woman. But this four stages is our life upon Mother Earth. So we make this journey, and this is our spiritual growth as we walk upon Mother Earth, which is Changuluta, this red path. And we have to make that journey. So our prayers have to be always forward to do these ceremonies. And but it's a way of life because we have to go with the four seasons, and every day is we have to thank the Great Spirit, the Creator, and then and pray because each breath we take in each heartbeat is a great mystery. It's waka, it's sacred. So that's our journey as a spirit upon Mother Earth.
Where are you now in that journey?
I am. I just got done with that Sundance. I sacrificed myself to the Tree of Life. I Sundanced for 4 years. And a long time ago, like this white buffalo is a core. She brought the sacred pipe, and the white buffalo is a symbol. It's like the Sundance. This white buffalo is a powerful image of our people because the white buffalo is so sacred. You have to go through, like, offer tobacco to a spiritual leader to honor that. That's the Sundance. You have to offer tobacco or do some offering to a medicine person or spiritual leader to help you, to guide you, or to help you understand the sacredness of this white buffalo.
I really must understand more about the white buffalo, and I think many people want to know about that. So hold on. We are at the bottom of the hour. Chief Arvel Looking Horse is my guest. And we've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot to learn, certainly, about these Indian nations about which I know so very little. And that includes the white buffalo. We obviously have the right man to tell us about this. And he'll be right back.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Once again, here I am. For those of you who join late, some stations in the second hour, I just, like minutes before I went on the air, got a call that a very close friend of mine just passed away unexpectedly at 59 with a massive heart attack. And it's so strange, isn't it? The feelings it produces in those who are left, and I still see his face. He was here yesterday afternoon. I still feel his presence, and yet he's gone. Chief Arvel Looking Horse is my guest. It's a great honor indeed to have him on the program, and we'll get back to him in just a moment. Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Chief, welcome back.
Oh.
Maybe you can help us all understand what is the meaning of the white buffalo, the birth of the white buffalo. Many of us, you know, in the news services here in the country, we have had, I think, two or maybe three reports of births of white buffaloes. And every time we get a report, we wonder what it means. What does it mean?
In our prophecies, it was told that four white buffalo calves would be born. And I was told this when I was very young, a young person. But I never thought in my whole life that I would see a white buffalo calf being born.
You thought this was something that would happen in the far future?
Yes.
So it was a great shock then for everybody.
Yeah, when I first heard it, it was a great shock, yes. Because I remember myself picking up the telephone and hearing it, and it just made me, you know, I was so excited, you know, feel like jumping up and down or whatever, you know, but I was pretty excited.
So the first white buffalo was born when?
1994 is the year, and according to that, I was the spiritual leader of the ride to Wounded Knee, and from 1986, that's when the ride started. And I was a spiritual leader of the ride to Wounded Knee, and being part of the ceremony at Wounded Knee in 1990, it's called Mending of the Sacred Hoop. And at the time, at the Lefty's elders were sharing their feelings about the ride and how we were caught up with a lot of hatred, anger, jealousy, and all the things that doesn't even belong in the ceremonies. We get caught up in that. So to do a ceremony like 1990, it's going to take 4 years to travel the great distance. And that's how we would eventually, because we're going to follow the staff and the staff and the ceremony, and we're going to follow a spirit that is going to show itself. So by listening to these elders, we did a ceremony, and that's what we did. 1990 was we did this wiping the tears ceremony, that one of the seven sacred rites that we just talked about, and to let that all that anger, hatred, and jealousy go, so we can create Walakota, peace within ourselves. And from there, we can journey out to the world to create peace, work towards peace and unity and peace and harmony.
Is that what the white buffalo means, that we are entering a period of peace and harmony? Is that what it means?
Yes, that's what it means. And because after 4 years, according to our ceremonies, it's 4 days, 4 years. So it was 4 years after we did that ceremony, but where our whole nation did the ceremony at Wounded Knee. And this ceremony, we were told through the sacred altar that we're going to see things that are are going to show themselves. And this 4 years later, a white buffalo calf is born. And it was 4 days after our Sundance. And then 19 generations ago, the white buffalo calf woman, when she brought the sacred pipe, was when the cherries were ripe. And that was in the month of August. And that's when this white buffalo calf was born. From 19 generations later, the same month, and 4 days after a sacred ceremony, and 4 years after a whole nation did a ceremony, all came to this one time, and that's when this white buffalo calf was born. And then from there, within 4 years, four white buffalo calves were born.
Four?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had heard many stories, and I wasn't sure how many, but you're saying that within there were four.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, these are good signs. In our way, we believe that these signs is sent by Wakantanka, the Great Spirit, and whatever the Great Spirit showed us. These signs, Wakantanka, the Great Spirit, made everything upon Mother Earth. So that's why, you know, everything is good. But we as individual, it's up to us to really get that good feeling and understand Mother Nature and have that belief, or we can push it aside. And that's what's happening today.
Is we are pushing it aside.
Yes.
I had, I should tell you, I had four Hopi elders on my show. And actually two that were on the air. And these Hopi elders, Chief, told me that they see changes, big earth changes coming. And the reason they came on the air is because they think they can no longer be avoided, that these changes are coming on our world, and there is virtually, there's nothing we can do to stop them. That's what they said. What do you believe?
Well, that's what we call for this World Peace and Prayer Day on June 21st because of these changes that are coming.
So you also believe they are coming?
Yes.
What do you think will happen if we do not take the correct spiritual path, and it sounds like pretty soon, if these changes, which have already really begun, the Hopi elders said?
Well,
What is going to happen?
My first statement, 1996, this World Peace and Prayer Day, I stated that we are at the crossroads. We're faced with chaos, disasters, sickness, and tears from our relatives' eyes. Or, on the other hand, we're going to see people uniting spiritually and respecting each other's ways and cultures. So, give that responsibility back to the people, because as people of prayer, we are the key to the next millennium. We are who we are as caretakers of Mother Earth. So that's what I believe in, and that's what this World Peace and Prayer Day is all about.
There are many things happening on the Earth now that I see, that I am very, very worried about, and many people are worried about. Many changes going on. Our weather seems to be changing. Our environment seems to be changing. In Alaska, where the ground should be frozen, it is melting. In Antarctic, where the ground should be frozen, big pieces of ice are falling off into the ocean. Our oceans are being poisoned. by pollution, which we are dumping into them. Fish are getting sick. Humans are getting sick. There's great trouble going on with Mother Earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
So are we already now in these changes? Is that what we're seeing now?
Yes, we are. We are in these changes, and that's what I just came back from a meeting with NASA in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
NASA?
Yeah, and they have like the facts, and they showed us films and tapes of what's happening with the environment, and the air, and the ozone layer.
Yes.
And that's what and these the name of the workshop is called Climate Changes and Earth Changes, and it's almost like what we can we do?
Did NASA invite you there?
Yes.
Why do you think they invited you?
Well, I believe we need to work together as NASA. Said that they have proof of what's happening with the climate changes and earth changes, and
they do have proof.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we as people of we understand Mother Nature and the animals, and because it goes with our ceremonies.
So NASA was smart enough to understand that somebody like you should be there.
Well, for my, I would say speaking with them, and it's almost like they're looking for some kind of answer.
I bet they are.
Yep.
I bet they are. What did you tell NASA?
According to, we just related the prophecies. And it goes back to, like for myself, I refer back to the World Peace and Prayer Day, but like other nations, they made statements about going back to like similar things that I've been saying, like going back to respecting Mother Earth and prayers. Yeah, it's get the people and our children to be aware of what's happening globally.
It's actually very nice to hear that NASA has at least some understanding or sensitivity to the fact that they may not have all of the answers. They certainly have some of the evidence, but they don't have all of the answers. And your people believe, and I believe that you are right, that we are connected and always will be connected to the earth we live on. We are actually part of that earth, aren't we?
Yes, we are. In fact, when I first made one of my trips up to the United Nations, 1994, it was like many Europe indigenous people, and mm-hmm. our nation was one of the nations that talked about prophecies, and about the same year, we have Nobel Peace Prize winners and scientists came out with a statement about global warming.
Yes. What is prophecy if nothing happens? If everything continues the way it is now, and we continue to reject any thought about the earth that we live on, and we just continue to abuse it, what will happen?
Well, it's like Mother Earth's spirit. She will live and she will survive, but it's us as individual people
that might not.
Yeah, we're killing ourselves.
I have told my audience the same thing. We are not so strong that we could kill the earth. It will continue to go around.
Mm-hmm.
But whether we continue to go around on it or not, I think is an open question right now.
Yeah.
Good question. How does prophecy say this will happen?
According to our prophecies, that there's many stories. We have many prophecies, and some of them I would kind of relate to you. Like, for one, is that there's a black cloud coming, and it's going to envelope us. And we have, when people are starting to dream about the black cloud, and when this, we feel like it's going to, it's in the air, and
it's something that everybody can feel.
It's it has to do with chemicals, and that's what it's going to. According to some of these elders that have been talking about this, that as the people that are not in tune with themselves, are not in tune with their prayers, they're not in tune with themselves, is like mind, body, and spirit. And then their minds are going to go crazy. And so they have to have this belief, and then they would survive that time. So that's what, that's one of them. And, but we have so many in the, like we talked about, the prophecies. A lot of our, like the spiritual people back in, we say, over 100 years ago, when people kept their word. That
yes.
means to us it's over 100 years ago. And there were leaders like Crazy Horse, Sitting Bull, and some of the people, Chief Bigfoot, talked about a time when, once again, you know, people would come back to unite spiritually. And starting from 1990. But we'll be, so there'll be so much on our shoulders, because that our spiritual, we'll be weak spiritually. And yet we'll be key to the future generations.
How can we, if we are weak spiritually?
That means our prayers are short.
Yes.
And because our prayers are short, our children are going to commit suicide.
Our children are going to commit suicide.
Yeah, because...
You know, that's already, if you look at our society, both Native American and every other society right now in our country, they are doing that. They are committing suicide in so many ways.
Yes.
So this is happening now.
Yeah, it is. And that, you know, it's so powerful to, like, when you make these ceremonies and start to work with people, you're going to really understand how much there is that we have to take on as spiritual people.
All right, Chief, hold on. Chief Arvel Looking Horse is my guest. What you're listening to is a group named Cusco. That's C-U-S-C-O, by the way, for those who want to know. And a good friend of mine literally is this group. And this particular CD, the same one with Ghost Dance, has this title. And this is called Pahrump, which happens to be the town I live in. And John, this one's for you. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
To talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye, from east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
Well, good morning. It is a distinct honor to have with us Chief Arva Looking Horse, who is the spiritual leader of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota nations. Became so at the age of 12. And we're talking really about our world. And we'll be right back. Chief Arva Looking Horse, Chief, welcome back.
Oh.
How are you doing? You holding up okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Good.
Do you do a lot of travel?
Yes, I do a lot of traveling.
Do you like to travel?
Oh, no. Sometimes it gets too crazy. Eh?
Yeah, too crazy. I agree with you. I like to stay home, too, and I do a lot of travel. We were talking about a dark cloud, and we were talking about what is coming on our Earth maybe soon if things don't change. It's very hard, you know, to ask anybody for times when these things might happen. But how much time, Chief, do you believe that we have before very serious things begin to happen?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I'd like to thank the radio station, too, for allowing us to be here. And we don't go by time. We go by the ceremonies, and we have our own way with our, like, these prophecies. And it's going to, we don't say this year or that time or, you know, or I guess what I'm saying is, like, they said in the seventh generation, and in our prophecy, it was told that the young people, that we as the sixth generation, we would help the seventh generation, which is our children. From the seventh generation starts in 1990, and we would help them become more stronger in their belief and culture and tradition. So we would help them stand up and understand it could be, you know, like just speaking with many other cultures and nations, they're saying there's going to be some great changes that is going to happen, you know, by year 2015 or anyway. For us, it's we know that there's going to be some great changes that is coming, but
so you don't measure time the way we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Okay. We talked about the current generation of young people, and I don't know about the Native American nations. You can tell me about the Lakota, but I can tell you about our cities and about the problem we are having now with young people. It seems like older people are perhaps, the crime rate is going down a little bit. Things look perhaps a little bit better in some ways. Unfortunately, though, one area where there's no progress and where we're having terrible trouble is with our young people. Many of them who seem, Christians would say, to have no soul or almost have no spirit, and they don't care about life. They don't care about their life, and they don't care about anybody else's life. Is this the generation that we should be worried about, that we're talking about? Is this part of the problem? What's going on?
See, that's what we talked about, the time that we are in is a lot upon our shoulders. That means we're going to, because that we have lost our boundaries, we have lost our ways of communicating, and therefore that we as a spirit, we have allowed something we use excuses or blame people, or it's a lot of it is our own fault here. And so our children, we pushed them out. And according to the teachings of the buffalo, according to the way that we nourish our children through love and compassion, is that the mother has to nurse that child and show that love and compassion, and then the respect is shown through the parents.
Well, then maybe I should ask you about just the Lakota, because somebody writes to me now by email and they say the following about child suicide. The highest suicide rate among young people, and I don't recall for sure, possibly for all ages, is actually among Lakota youth. And it has been so now for about two decades. Lakota children 12 and under often commit suicide. Once, while working with Lakota kids, one told me by writing that he was seriously considering suicide. He was 9 years old. What's going on?
There is a lot of suicides with our people, and that's what. I know that a lot of suicide is happening all over the world too, but because I'm a peace promoter, I promote peace.
Yes.
And I know what's going on, that I do a lot of work with other nations, but I like to talk about my own nation, because it's I know what we are going through as a nation, and there is a lot of suicide, and because we don't our ways were outlawed. Within 100 years, the last of the Cold Wars was back in 1890, and they put our people on reservations, and our ways were outlawed until 1990. In 1978, that's when we got our freedom of religion, 1978.
When you say your ways were outlawed, what do you mean?
That means we could not do ceremonies. Our ceremonies are outlawed, and we could not practice our way of life.
Now, I don't understand, because the whole idea of reservations, good or bad, probably bad, was that your nation would be able to have autonomy and do what it wanted to do within that reservation, within that area. I don't want to have the argument now about whether reservations were good or bad, but wasn't that the whole idea?
No, reservations are... they were concentration camps at first, and they were outlawed not to have a wounded knee. It was the ghost dance, and the fear was there to, they were practicing ceremonies, and it was outlawed from that time on. So we could not hold ceremonies, and the kids were sent to boarding schools. So that whole time from like 1890 to 1990. You know, that's what we're talking about.
Isn't that interesting? Because the white man in America believes that he fought a war to have independence for religious freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And then came across this nation and took away your religious freedom, the very thing we fought for.
Yeah. It is, because they came, we say, the brothers from the East, they came and for freedom of religion. And now that's what we're, they have, our people are, like, people of ceremonies and always respect, and they kind of control, and now there's a lot of conflicts in our values and our thinking.
Are there too many? In other words, when you look at the young generation now, even though you may now do the ceremonies you could not do for so long, is it too late?
All of a sudden, no, here we are in 1978, and now it's openness. You guys can do ceremonies, you guys can do Sundance, and all of a sudden we have so many medicine people, we have so many spiritual leaders that are going out there and making money off our ways. That's abuse. It's misuse and abuse of our ways. And there's no way that a traditional spiritual person with a charge for ceremonies.
I'm going to ask some really dumb questions, I'm afraid, but I want to ask about the Sundance. I had a thought in my mind that the Sundance means that you actually put something through the skin, skewering the skin, staring at the sun, dancing for days, as a self-sacrifice. Is that the Sundance, or do I have that wrong?
A Sundance is, you commit yourself to the Sundance, and you're going to dance 4 days from sunup to sundown, and you're going to have some breaks to sit down, and then you stand up and dance. You're going to the sacred altar and dance again. And on the fourth day, that's when we have the piercing round, where they pull the skin out, and you know, they give themselves to the Creator. So they cut them a little bit, then they put that skewer in there. Then they stand up, and then they dance four times to the tree. And on the fourth one, they break away from the tree. So that's what the Sundance is about. It's giving yourself to the tree of life so your people would live. That's what the Sundance. So it's then the women, they come in and dance on the side. And that's what the Sundance is. You know, you watch the sun and you have a dance all day from sunup to sundown. No water,
no water.
Food. Like the Vision Quest, you go on the hill for 4 days for no water and no food. That's fasting. And the Sundance is the same. And that's what the Sundancers are saying today, that the sun is different. It's burning our skin. You need to kill.
Oh, are you right? Well, of course, we know the science from NASA. We know that science from NASA, but there is something that is happening. I live in Nevada, near Death Valley. And my wife plants crops here for us to eat, vegetables and so forth. And this year, we planted a crop, and it began very well, but then something burned it. Something burned the crop, and it all died off. And then later came back a little bit, but something killed it off. It's like it burned the crop. And when I talked with the Hopi elders, they also said the same thing, that the sun has changed. The same thing you're saying.
Yeah, it is. We have many prophecies of many nations, and it's beautiful to see, you know, and hear their ways, and it all goes back to what we've been talking about, is that prayers can change. We can heal Mother Earth, and Mother Earth is going to heal us. That's what we talked about, this World Peace and Prayer Day.
And that will be on June 6th.
June 21st. Yeah, on June 21st, we're asking people all over the world to pray on that day, because we can create that energy shift. Because when you pray and you create that energy, and that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that we have that power.
I believe we have that power, Chief. I talk on my radio program many times about things that most people don't understand and wonder about, the powers that we might have as spiritual beings. And we tried some experiments, because I have many millions of people listening to me in New York City and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Chicago and all the big cities across America. And I asked people to try to bring rain to an area that had no rain. And we did this, Chief, four times.
Mm-hmm.
And four times rain came to these areas. And I will tell you the truth when I tell you, it scared me.
Uh-huh.
And I stopped doing it. And I said, I have to stop doing this for a while and think about what it means.
Yeah, that's right. Because we have that ability to create and to believe in ourselves.
Well, if we can create weather, then we can create and make our own reality, can't we?
Yes.
And right now, the reality that I see us making is not a good one at all. There is so much greed, there is so much corruption, that I am worried that there are not enough people to change this. I hope you are right, but I fear you are not.
Yeah, like a lot of people, you know, they don't understand. Like there's a lot of people having dreams and visions, but they don't understand, because we don't like in the past, or the way that we have we're going, we're pushing. And we're doing that to our children.
These dreams are very important, aren't they?
Yeah, they are very important. But we're not communicating to our children, and we're not understanding Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are lacking, is that communication.
Chief, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. I would like to open up some phone lines and allow some of you to ask questions, no doubt the ones I haven't gotten to. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Thank you.
talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA. Then, 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the Wildcard Line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
Good morning, everybody. Chief Arvel Looking Horse is my guest. He is the spiritual leader in chief of the Lakota. The Lakota Nation, and he has a lot to say, and I hope you're listening very carefully. So he'll be right back. I've got a lot to say, so I hope you're listening carefully. Back now to Chief Arvel Looking Horse, and Chief, welcome back. There are people all over the country who would like to ask you questions.
Oh.
And so if you don't mind, I would bring some of them on the phone line and let them ask you. Would that be all right? Chief, are you there? I'm barely hearing you.
Okay.
Oh, that's a little bit better now.
All right.
Okay, good. All right, let's give this a try and see if we can do it. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hello.
Hello?
Hello there.
Yeah, this is Eleanor.
Eleanor?
Yeah, I'm calling from Nashville, but I'm originally from Nebraska.
You're calling from Nashville, Tennessee, but you're from Nebraska. Okay.
Yeah, I'm registered with the Rosebud Sioux.
You are Sioux?
Yeah, my mom went to school with Orville. Her name is Ruby Bravehawk. Do you know her?
What was the name again, please?
Ruby Bravehawk.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know her?
Yes, I know her.
Yeah, that's my mom.
Oh, that's right.
Well, we're just out here, we're listening to you, and we believe in you, sometimes it's made, the Sundance, it's not that bad. It's not like these people who are out there who are doing these snake things, these churches with the snakes and stuff.
Yeah.
Where they die and stuff. Sundance does not do that.
Uh-huh.
And people out there who are listening shouldn't criticize Indians for doing the Sundance, when there's churches out there that are doing these, things with the snake, because it's in the Bible.
Actually, they do those things back in the part of the country you're in now.
Yeah. And, and that's just not right, And, there are, I was raised with a stepdad that was white, and I wasn't able to learn the Lakota language, and I would like to,
Uh-huh.
But I am learning the Lakota ways, and it's all true, I lost my little boy, and I know he's up there with the Great Spirit,
Uh-huh.
Chief, there are many, like this young lady, aren't there, lost children from the Lakota Nation?
Yes, there is. I travel a lot, and I've been to a lot of cities, and every place I go, I will see a relative of ours from our nation.
A wild card line, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hello.
Hello, yeah.
Yes. Where are you?
Where I'm at now?
No, my caller.
Oh.
On the wild card line, you're on the air. Are you there, sir? I guess he's not there. Let's try it again. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hello.
Well, I know I'm sure here.
You're there. Yes, hello.
Hello, Art. Hello, Chief. I live in the Northeast. That's close to New York. We call it the tri-state area. We're not used to the weather that we've been having lately, and I'll explain. We've had some tremendous tornadoes. That's not like our weather. But back in 1985, I started to dream about the black clouds, and then I started to dream about the tornadoes.
Uh-huh.
And everyone laughed, and they says, "We'll never get that kind of weather here." And yeah. I don't relish summer anymore. I said that last week. And Monday of this week, just after saying it, I literally got up. I sleep late in the afternoon sometimes. Got up and looked out our back door, and lo and behold, I saw two tornadoes forming.
Uh-huh.
Way too far, at least 5-6 miles away. But yes, a tornado did hit around 11 miles away that particular day in winter. And I guess you know about the tornadoes that hit in Arkansas and Tennessee. And
yeah,
everyone said, this is not the kind of weather you have in winter. And I do go to bed with a flashlight under the pillow because in the last 4 days, the power has gone out twice. We had an ice storm. That was last week. And then Monday, a clash of lightning, and literally both had no power for 24 hours.
Lightning?
This is not like us over here. And Art
yeah.
knows I'm telling the truth.
Okay, Kathy, hold
yeah, that's
on.
That's right, because I was right east of Chicago about 2 days ago, and there was the rain was heavy, like it was raining so heavy, and we had lightning and thundering.
Yes.
And this is in January.
Yes, and in Tennessee, in January, they had tornadoes that killed people and destroyed entire towns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these things have happened in history before, but we are having many of these things almost all the time now.
Yeah, and like the Dakotas, like last year we had tornado warnings there year-round.
Year-round. Year all year round?
The weather is really different, and according to our the third week in March, we call it Tiopa Nathaka. It's that's the month when the closing of the door. That's what it means, and like these elders are saying, this, the weather is so different. It's like we have lightning in winter, and we have the whole changes happening with the weather is so different. Huh?
Kathy, she was from New Jersey, and she said she also has been having dreams of a black cloud. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised because that's what a lot of people are having, and it's like before these white buffalo calves are born, we have a lot of people all across Turtle Island. They have dreams about the white buffalo calf, and so it's not only Native people, but other people.
Well, I think there was a day when many people paid attention to the dreams and visions they had, and not so many people pay attention today. They just, they wake up and they have their cup of coffee and they go to work and they forget all about it very quickly, and they don't consider what their unconscious is trying to tell them, do they?
Yeah.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Where are you, please?
I'm actually in Vancouver, Canada.
Vancouver, Canada. Okay.
Yes, indeed. Hello from Canada to you all. It's a pleasure, Art. Thank you to you, actually, for being such a fabulous facilitator for a rather incredible ongoing forum.
Thank you.
Indeed. You are a very worthy man. And greetings to you as well, Chief Looking Horse.
Oh.
My question is... It's really good that you've just been speaking again about the dreams of the black clouds, and you had been speaking earlier about that being a part of your prophecies. Now, I'm here to, I guess, bring in the other side of the coin, and that is about the possible outcomes, the positive possible outcomes, and I'm wondering if there are any of those that tie as well into the prophecies depending on the choices that we make, because, yes, of course, as a collective consciousness and also as individual conscious light beings, we are creating our reality, as you were saying earlier, Art. And I believe and have been witness to a lot of, I guess you could say, products of the light. And I have great faith in where this planet is going. It's come through in dreams. It's come through in just daily flashes as well, too. I'm a student of the psychic arts and the healing arts as well, and I work very much on the light side of things. So I wanted to know if there was also some positivity you can bring with us, because as much chaos and destruction as is going on, an equal amount of joy and happiness is. It's that balance that...
Well, I guess a good question would be, I think that Chief Arvel Looking Horse definitely agrees with you about the other side. That's why he's calling for a day of prayer.
Indeed.
June 21st.
Yes, I've already marked it down.
But I think the question for all of us is whether there's enough, whether there's enough balance to make things come out the way you and I and the Chief hope they come out, pray they come out.
Well, if I may, Art, I haven't told you my name, and I won't.
It's all right.
This isn't the time for it. I don't mean to sound all mysterious and enigmatic, but I know also there will be a time when I will talk to you at great length about some messages that I have to pass on. That's part of what I have, what I'm here to do. And I just really wanted to bring up that side of it, because I believe that our perspectives, I mean, our thoughts are the very seed of what we manifest.
Oh, I look, you're preaching to the choir here, Chief. You're welcome to answer her question, but I think that I know your answer. I mean, obviously you are working for a positive change, aren't you?
Yes, that's what I believe in. It's always on the positive change.
I guess I am an old, cynical person doing my job here on the radio. I hear all the time about the negative things that are going on. Maybe I hear too much about the negative things. I don't know. But it seems to me that there is so much negativity going on that I worry that we cannot change the course of what is happening.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what we have to start communicating, and we have to start respecting each other ways, and that's what this positive change is about too.
All right, first time caller line, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hello.
Hello, calling from Butler, Pennsylvania. Art, love your show. Just picked it up yesterday, in fact, and I've really found it educational in all aspects. Similarly, on the subject matter of just like Indian culture, I saw this movie called The Education of Little Tree, and it pretty much takes place in Tennessee post-Depression times, and it basically goes into showing how America robbed the Indians of their rights of freedom of their nativeness and all the culture that they practiced prior to our coming. It, like, robbed them of their names. They had to, like, take American names, and they weren't allowed to, you know, speak any of their tongue or anything along those lines, and it was just very disheartening to see that that was done at such an early age to this little child that he overcame the great evil. That's all I really wanted to say, and I love your show, and I hope it prospers with this word of peace. Because the world really needs it. Thank you very much.
The world really does need it. Chief, my question from that call would be, why do you think when the reservations were created that the white man who fought his own war because of religion,
mm-hmm.
Why did the white man forbid your ceremonial...
Because it's something that you can't control, and that's where we are the strongest, is we believe is our ceremonies and communicating to the Great Spirit through the ceremonies. And that's why when you don't understand something, you know, it's very hard to take. And that's why they outlawed our ceremonies. And back in 1890, that's what the last of the Cold War is. That's when they outlawed our ceremonies because they were in ceremonies and that's all Wounded Knee happened.
That's just incredible to me. Incredible. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Art. This is Sean calling from Gurnee, Illinois, a suburb about 23 miles north of Chicago. We just had a big snow. It was interesting. I think you guys were talking about the weather.
Oh, yes.
If I caught that. Did you guys know we had about 20-plus inches of snow? And it was a record. I think the last big snow we had was like in 79. But anyway, I believe that the weather patterns are changing. My question tonight for Chief Looking Horse was basically, there's a lot of hype and hysteria and a lot of psychics out there, I guess, predicting what's going to happen on 2000, January 1st. I have my own feelings in that and beliefs and belief systems in that. My question for the Chief was, what can we do as individuals by thinking locally, first and then acting globally? What can we do spiritually? Because I believe in prayer and I believe in spirits and that they're all around us. There's good and evil spirits. I believe it's very strong. It's a very strong force that needs to be taught maybe more, maybe by yourself or others. But what can we do as individuals to maybe safeguard or somehow try to protect our way of life as we know it?
All right. That's a good question, Chief.
Yeah. That's what we've been asking people to, on June 21st, we need to work towards a day of peace, a day, and I hope June 21st is recognized as international holiday because we need such a day in our lives to, when the whole, we as people can create that energy. When we can sit with our children and can with our families and bring this peace into our lives.
To many people, this sounds like maybe you're talking about magic or something really strange, but it doesn't sound that way to me, Chief, because I've seen it work. I've seen it happen. So I can imagine that you are right. Listen, I have one more hour. If you would like to stay, or if you feel like you need to get to bed, I can do that too. It's up to you, Chief.
Yeah, I'd like to stay one more hour.
Good, please. Stay right where you are then, and we'll be right back. My guest, we are honored to have Chief Arvel Looking Horse here, Chief of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota Spiritual Leader. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
You really should know who you're hearing this night. He is Chief Arvel Looking Horse. He is the spiritual leader of the Lakota, And I'm going to have to try and understand. I would think that these others, Nakota and Dakota, are part of the Lakota Nation. We'll ask about that in a moment. At any rate, in between, if you have questions for him, we're happy to accommodate you if you can get through on the lines. So everybody, stay right where you are. Let us now go back to Chief Arvel Looking Horse, and here he is again. Chief, welcome back.
Oh, cool.
Getting pretty late where you are there, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Have you in the past talked to people all over the nation, America, Canada, and in fact worldwide? Have you had this opportunity before?
On the radio?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, I did.
Are these the same kinds of questions that you get?
Yeah, I do get about the same questions, and a lot of people think we're living on a reservation, like in teepees and riding horseback, but there's a lot of changes that has happened. They kind of freeze frame us back in like in 1800s.
Movies.
Yeah.
It's movies that does that. You know, there is one thing happening on the reservations that I would like to ask you about, though. There's great controversy in many places now about gaming, about gambling on reservations. Do you have any comment on that?
No, I have no comment on that, but other than that, a lot of our relatives dress up nice and go have a nice job. But I do like to say that, no, it's, I think the way that we are as today, we need to all survive one way or another, and like gambling or casinos, that's very like some of the ways that
I know that it has helped.
Yeah,
it has helped. I know
it's a survival.
Mm-hmm. Survival. All right, here we go again. First time caller line. You're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Les in Honolulu.
Honolulu, Hawaii. Yes, sir.
Yes. And Chief, it's an honor to speak to you, mostly just because my great-great-great-grandmother was a daughter of Sitting Bull.
Uh-huh.
And the comment I would just like to make, earlier you were speaking about the balance, and it seems like there are many more people or spirits on the planet that are confused and aren't aware, and not enough of those that are aware to make a difference.
Uh-huh.
And my comment is that one strong warrior can overcome many weak warriors.
Uh-huh.
Is not numbers that are important, but because the strength of one can overcome many.
Well, I would say I hope that's true. It almost has to be true if you consider the condition of the world today. Yeah, if there is to be any hope, that must be true.
Yeah, we are like all that. We still have our ceremonies in a circle, and we every time that's what we talk about, this healing our family's hoop and the hoop of the nation, and we all, there's no one person higher than the other in the circle. All support each other and create that energy, that love and compassion.
All right. Thank you very much for the call from Hawaii. Chief, may I ask you about this? You are the keeper of the sacred pipe.
Uh-huh.
Did the Lakota, and do the Lakota now, use a peyote or any other drug in ceremonies?
Some of our people today still on. Today they use peyote, but I would not say talk about that because today we have so many of our people praying a lot of different ways, and whatever they believe in, that's their choice. So that's what I, it's out of respect for.
Yes. Yes, that actually, I meant the question in no negative way. As a matter of fact, I've had many guests who are spiritual who say there are many, many paths, there are many ways to become spiritual, and that is one of them, the use of that type of a natural substance, peyote, mescaline, whatever. And you would agree with that. In other words, you respect that.
Yes, I would respect that because that peyote, a lot of our relatives from the South, that's theirs, and I respect that.
Another question for you, and then I'll go back to the phones here. Many people want to talk to you. But on the reservations today, how much autonomy do the reservations really have? It's kind of like the reservations are in the middle someplace. They're not subject to all the laws of this land, but they're subject to many of them. And so it's kind of a strange place to be because you're different, but not really different. And so which way is it going now? Are you having more of Washington's laws or state laws come onto the reservation, or do you think it's going the other way and there are fewer laws that apply to the reservation?
Well, today we have our traditional laws and our ways and our culture, which I am part of, and then there's the tribal government, and then we have the state government, and then we have the U.S. government. But we have to know all the laws too that was that obtains our people.
So some laws apply and some laws don't, but you've got to know them all.
Yeah, we got to know them all.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Good morning.
Hi, this is Vicki in Hawaii.
Hi, Vicki, Hawaii again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Art, I just want to let you know you have my prayers and your loss.
Thank you.
And Chief Looking Horse. I have a couple of, I have a personal question and then a more general question, but I'm 43 now, and I lived in South Dakota for 30 years. I was born there, and South Central near the Rosebud Reservation. And I was there during the American Indian Movement, you know, all the violence and stuff that was going on. And I'm Caucasian, and I felt a lot of fear at that time, and I just want you to know that I respect and admire what the Native Americans have done and their spiritual strength to let go of all the anger and resentment, because I know that had to be really difficult. And so I think you can be a good example for all of us with all the racism that's going on. And then I want a personal question. Did you know a man, an old man now, by the name of John Fire?
Yes, I do.
My grandmother used to have a Dairy Queen on Highway 18 in Gregory, and he used to paint the murals, and they were just beautiful, and her teepee on top of her Dairy Queen. Mm. Anyway, okay, and then I get homesick sometimes. One of my questions is, I have two questions. One is, how do we let go of, I've been working on my own spirituality for a couple years now, and how do we let go of, sometimes I get just overwhelmed with feelings of fear about the future, and I wondered, how can we let go of that? And then my second question is, how do we know where the sacred areas are?
All right, both good questions. How do we let go of the fear? And there is a lot of fear today. She's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of fear because that's the way we are taught is fear. But a long time ago, the way that people lived, there was no fear because We work with spirit, and when we do our ceremonies, like each day, it's that letting go of that pain and anger and that fear. That's us, as we have to heal ourselves. So it's always a blessing to know and to understand that spirit.
Chief, she also asked about sacred areas. Are there sacred areas?
Yes, there's sacred areas all over the world, every 100 miles. That's what our grandfathers told us.
Because, did you say every 100 miles?
Yes. And these places, people have been going to pray. And these are places that we have create this energy when people are praying at one place for a long time. It's becomes more a sacred place. It's a powerful place.
How is one to know where these places are?
When we go in back into ceremonies, and here in the Dakotas, we have a lot of our biggest place, the most sacred place is the Sacred Black Hills. The whole Sacred Black Hills is sacred, and it's we say heart of everything that is. And that's where our people came from, and
yes,
the whole Black Hills is like today they have pictures of the Black Hills, the four seasons, and when they fast forward the four seasons, it was a heart that was pumping. And that's why these elders told about the stories, and we see it, and today we can see it through the pictures.
The Black Hills.
Yeah, so then we have these other sacred places where the Thunder People, they come and they leave their markings on these stones, these sacred places, and we take that into the ceremonies, and we would know what is going to happen.
Where your relatives and ancestors are buried, these are also sacred places, are they not?
Yes, they are these places where they have our ceremonies. Any place that we have a ceremony is a sacred place. To us, it's it could be burial grounds or...
Yes. Well, many times we have built things and places over sacred ground.
Uh-huh.
And many strange things, sometimes not so good, have happened when this was done. There was recently a controversy in Colorado when they built the new airport at Denver.
Uh-huh.
There are many who say that was built over sacred ground. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I heard about that. I heard a lot about strange stories that came from there. Strange accidents did happen at the airport.
They still are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's because of where it was built?
Yeah, that's what these elders are telling us. It's built on a sacred ground.
Well, I was there, and I actually had a tour. I one of the managers was, I guess, a fan of mine, and he took me around the Denver airport, and I asked him about this. And, it was private, and he didn't have to tell me anything. And he said, a lot of what you hear about the airport is true. A lot of the strange things that have happened, I admit to you, are true.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite surprised. All right, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hi.
Hi, I'm Art. I have a quick platitude, perhaps. It depends how you take it. When I heard about your friend passing, at first I felt deep sadness for your loss. I know how that feels. But at the time, I happened to be reading a wonderful spiritual book, and perhaps something that I saw in that may help you a little bit, if I may. it seems that we are all unique and very creative manifestations of the one creator, and we are all, each of us, put here for a purpose. Sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't. And yet, when we have done our purpose here, whatever that may be, we get to go back to the Creator with what we've learned here as well, to continue and share that energy. So in that way, your friend really is just going on to the next step of his purpose. And in that way, I feel happy for him, though I realize you have a longing. And
I hope you're right.
And so in that way, I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you.
And certainly, and you certainly are a blessing to us community of insomniacs out here. And I also, my heart, my heart pounds strong and fast with the joy of the honor to be able to speak with you this evening, Chief Looking Horse, and even more so to be able to listen to you. I learn a lot more with my mouth closed and my ears open. My name is Mike, and I'm calling from the southern shore of Lake Ontario in upstate New York, in the center of the traditional homeland of the Iroquois, Haudenosaunee. And I feel blessed to be here. I will try to be succinct. I realize I'm running on. This is such an honor. My comment, I have a comment or two very briefly, and I would like to ask Chief for your thoughts or comments if you feel so called to do so. I'm 31 years old, and in the last few years I've gone through major struggles as a recovering addict, and a big part of that is reconnecting with spirit, with spirituality. And I had been getting nowhere for a long time until about a year and a half ago, a friend invited me to the Sacred Lodge, to Sweat Lodge, at which time things started to become very much more clear. And it was with a wonderful fellow named Tao Dakwe at a place called Equihewe up near Niagara Falls. And once there, I spent some wonderful time, including last June 21st. We had a wonderful time, and we will be there again this year. And that is part of what I'd like to ask you to comment on, is what specific things, in a spiritual sense or a ritual sense, could you suggest or would you suggest we can do as groups to direct our prayers and our energies on Peace Prayer Day?
All right, that really is a very good question. We'll have to leave it there. I'm sorry. You're right. We're short on time. June 21st, Chief. Why then?
That's when a lot of the elders, when I took tobacco to, not only me, but when we took the tobacco to the elders of many nations, they said that June 21st is a day. That's when this energy shift, when that's when they feel the most, feel very good on that day.
So in other words, it would be easiest for many people together to have an effect on that day?
Yeah, it's a summer solstice. And yeah, for more information, you can call, you can on the website.
Yes.
The www.worldpeaceday.com/1999.
That's my webmaster, I hope, is listening right now, or we may already have a link. But it's
www.worldpeaceday.com/1999.
All right. Thank you very much. And hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. And we'll be right back with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. I'm Art Bell from the high, windy desert in the southwest portion of this country of ours. We come to you unusually. Who else comes from this part of the country? We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
to talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
It certainly is. Glad to be here. Chief Arvel Looking Horse is my guest, and I know many, many, many of you have been looking forward to this night. He'll be back in a moment. Back now to Chief Arvel Looking Horse. And, Chief, maybe you can clear something up for me. And that is, you are chief of the Lakota. And the other two nations that you mention, are they also Lakota or separate? Or when we talk about these Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota, is that all Lakota Nation?
No, that's like Lakota, Dakota, Nakota is all one nation.
All one nation?
Yeah, all one nation. The Sioux Nation. But we don't want to use the word Sioux because that word is, that name is given to us. Sioux. It's a French term, like a snake in the grass.
So that is not your name. It is our name for you.
Yeah, that was, who we are is like Lakota or Dakota, Nakota. It's just in the dialect is different.
I understand. I understand. Believe me. Thank you. That clears it up. All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse.
Hi, Art. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Where are you?
I'm in New York.
In New York, yes.
Yes, sir. From listening to 77 ABC. I got a question for your guest. I was told something about the Indian medicine. I was born under the sign of the frog, and my stone is malachite. I wonder if he can guide me in the right direction on finding more information about that.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, just... about the frog, we don't do too much with the symbol of that frog or the snake. But, you know, we are the buffalo people, so I would probably say more about the buffalo. And I can't say too much about the frog.
Okay. Is in your nation, like, what is the, like, what would I be under? And where would I go about finding out the information on that?
About the frog?
Yes.
Yeah, we respect, the people's ways and their beliefs, and whatever you believe in what can help you, you know, we respect that.
All right. There are so many religions, Chief. We have Catholics, we have Protestants, we have Baptists, we have Hindus, we have Native Americans like yourself. We have so many people who believe so many things, and all of them think they are the right path, and some think they are the only path. What do you think?
Yeah, I just respect the that everybody is spiritual in their own way, and I believe that, and so I know that when you believe in something, you know, it'll work for you.
I happen to also believe that. But that gets you in a lot of trouble with many people who think that their path is the only path. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hi.
Yes, hi. Good evening, Art. This is Karen in Houston. How are you doing?
Houston, Texas, yes.
Yes.
Hi, Karen.
I know that history repeats itself. Like what you were talking about earlier, the banishment of certain special religious ceremonies and such. I know in Scotland in one time, bagpipes were once outlawed for the same reason. I think we need a new history, and June 21st sounds awful good to me. And if we do make contact with our family members who are over there and our friends, I think we can't go wrong. So I'm looking forward to participating in this.
So you want to be a part of it?
Oh, I sure do.
All right, wonderful. And I would tell everybody we have a link on our website right now to Chief Arvel Looking Horse's website regarding the World Prayer Day on June 21st. And I would be the last person in the world to say this wouldn't work because I've seen it happen myself. So anything is worth a try, and I would encourage you all to do some reading about this. And maybe we really all can together do something. You don't want to go down without trying, at least. So take a look at the website. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hi.
Hi, Art?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure it was me.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Peggy in Groton.
Groton, Connecticut?
Yes.
Okay.
First off, Chief Looking Horse Shield, welcome to the program. I'm of Cherokee descent. I guess to coin Art's phrase, I'm another one of the lost children. I never had the opportunity to grow up with full knowledge of my own culture. I'm married to Anishinaabe from Minnesota, and we both are kind of in the same boat here. What I wanted to ask you was, I have been a spiritual seeker ever since I was very, very young, about maybe 3 or 4 years old, and I do remember that far back, and I was definitely even searching then. It seems that whenever I have needed an answer, I have gotten that answer in one form or another. Sometimes I was made to wait for weeks, days, even years, and then all of a sudden the answers would come to me. My problem here is that in the past few years, I feel like I've come to a stalemate. And about 10 years ago, I started just getting this real urge, this real tug to go to a certain geographical location. And I've never been able to get there. And I'm wondering if maybe the two things might have to do with each other, and why in the world would one come to such a spiritual dead end for 3 or 4 years and never and not be able to go any farther? And I'm wondering, might this have something to do with the times also?
Hello. Yeah, just for us, it's always ongoing. You know? It's always every day, and you know, we have that belief where you know that doesn't. We as individuals, we have our ups and downs, but the ceremonies are always constant, and the teachings is always there. So that in that way, we know that that these sacred ceremonies and sacred sites, and it's for us, and we hold a lot of respect to that this sacred pipe.
So I guess, in a way, he's saying to you that if you are drawn to a special place, a geographic place, you should go.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much easier said than done since I'm in Connecticut, and where I need to go, where I've been feeling drawn to, is Montana. And I have two boys that it would cost quite a bit of money probably to escape from here.
Yeah, but you said it yourself. If you want it to come to pass, you will find a way.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm holding my faith out for. You know, I figure if I'm supposed to go, then I'll find a way to get there. It's just that I just feel like I'm just so stuck, you know, spiritually speaking right now, that it drives me up a wall. It drives me crazy, you know.
Okay.
That's World Peace and Purity is about June 21st, and we have a lot of, like on a website, there's a place where, you know, people are having these gatherings from East Coast to West Coast and all over the world that people can go to, and that's what they're calling in to get connected.
Somebody sent me some email, Chief, and asked if this black cloud could possibly be a nuclear war.
Yes, that is what we are saying.
That's what you believe it is?
Yep. And, yeah.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hello.
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 Hi, my name's Winona. I'm from Idaho.
Yes.
I had a comment in regards to your question you had on the reservations and you know, it's supposed to be for the Indians only. It's even though that it was set aside, it's like what he said, it's kind of a place where they put us and didn't that was where we were supposed to stay at.
Mm-hmm.
And we have somewhat of kind of like a sovereignty, autonomy.
Kind of.
And see, like where I live at, on the reservation I live on, we fall under, we have our own tribal laws, we have our, then we fall under the federal laws, but we have to deal with the state laws in that accord, too, with a lot of the non-Indians that live here. So it's a big, kind of a big mess. One of the other comments I had is in regards to the kids. I heard that was mentioned as being called like lost souls. And in that sense, I do believe it's that way. I think you can look at all the kids around and you see that as far as the Indian kids here, it's like they're lost. They don't have any understanding of what our traditions, our culture, and a loss of respect for those that are trying to teach it. When our parents were growing up, they were forced not to be able to talk and practice at that time. And I know I have that own feeling, is, you know, I'm learning a lot of it right now. But it's really hard for the kids my age when we were growing up that didn't have that. As far as, you know, I think it's something that's going across the nation, not only on the reservations, but in the cities and around in the area of, you know, where there's a lot of people looking for ways, and then there's those that just don't know how to find their way. And that's about all I had to comment on.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much, and take care.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes.
I wonder if I can, we have some major concerts coming up, three of them, and one is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at Tingley Stadium.
Okay,
on April 23rd.
Did you say concerts or conventions?
Benefit concert.
Benefit concert, all right.
Yeah, Willie Nelson and Friends is...
Oh, is he?
Performing.
April 23rd?
Yeah.
Willie Nelson is a friend of mine.
Oh, that's all right, because there's going to be a lot of people there. I hope a lot of we're inviting a lot of people to come.
Okay, April 23rd in Albuquerque. Any others?
Yeah, April 23rd, Tingley Stadium, Albuquerque.
Okay. Do you want to mention any others?
Yeah, I'd like to say that the other ones will be on the website as they come up.
Okay, so in other words, check the website and they'll be listed there. But anyway, April 23rd in Albuquerque, and Willie Nelson, among others, will be there. That's great.
Yeah.
First-time caller line, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hi.
Hi. Hey, Chief Arvel Looking Horse. I've got an article here written by a fellow. He's an Indian fellow. His name is Marty Church, Director of Native Ministries, North Pacific in Canada. And I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the vision of Crazy Horse, and he has presented this here in a kind of concise way, and I want to get your opinion about this. He said the visions of Crazy Horse of the Ogallala and were well known during his lifetime, but many non-natives know nothing of this prediction that the Creator would come to Earth and cleanse and recreate it. And then in 1995, Crazy Horse's great-grandson began having dreams in which he was told that those prophecies were about to be fulfilled. Now, for centuries, the Sioux and the Cheyenne, or actually we should say the Lakota and the Cheyenne, have passed down a prediction that the Creator will return to the earth to renew the earth and heal all who are sick and restore the peace and harmony. And the sign that this is about to take place will be the birth of a white buffalo. And for centuries, there was no white buffalo. And now, in the past 3 years or so, we've had a lot more than one. And also at the same on the same subject, there's an Eskimo by the name of Manilak who lived long before the arrival of white man and the Bible and predicted that the day would come when the Creator would return to the skies with glory much greater than the splendor of the northern lights. And Manilak taught that the Creator's return would be seen by all people around the globe and that when he returned, he would recreate a land of peace in which people would live forever without sickness or death. And before that day came, he taught that people would actually travel from place to place through the air with great speed, and boats loaded with supplies would skim across the water. And I just wondered now with those. Now, his records, the records of all of his prophecies, are recorded in the Northern History Books and old ledgers of the Hudson Bay Trading Company. And I just wondered, Chief Looking Horse, if you had an account of that or how that fits in with what you believe.
Did you say that Crazy Horse's grandson?
Yes.
Yeah,
in 1995, it said that Crazy Horse's great-grandson began having dreams which supported those of his great-grandfather.
Yeah, because Crazy Horse never had any kids. And
that would be a little hard to do then, wouldn't it?
It certainly would.
Well, that part of the article we know is wrong.
Yeah,
so much for that.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Interesting question, interesting answer. Wild card line, you're on the air with Chief Arvel Looking Horse. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call, Art.
Sure.
This is Silver Song in Bellingham.
Yes.
And I have I wanted to speak with Orville.
You are?
Orville, I saw you down in Olympia, and I'm a painter. I'm an artist, and I painted a picture of the white buffalo calf woman, which I gave to you.
Uh-huh.
I started having visions when I was about 8 years old. And I started painting them, and I've constantly, been upholding that possibility of the white buffalo calf spirit to return. And I put you in my circle of prayers, and I want to really thank you for that position you're holding,
uh-huh.
That pipe that you're carrying, and the responsibility that you walk with every day. And I really, I just want to thank you for that. The other thing I wanted to know about, which I was wondering about, is there's 29 holidays in this country, and there's yet one that honor my grandmother and grandfathers. Like, there's Martin Luther King Day, there's Christian holidays, but there's yet to honor our people. And I wonder about the spirit of place, about the soul of America, if we can make a ceremony where people of other peoples, because the Cree prophecy from my father's people says that when the earth is ravaged and the plants and animals are suffering, a tribe of people from all colors and creeds will come together and make the land green again.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if this is an opportunity for us to create a ceremony, because it's a way to educate the masses. I was showing in Paris in 1995, and I was at the Museum des Homes, and there they had a graph, and they said 25 million Europeans will migrate to America by the year 2020.
Young lady, I'm going to have to hold you up there. I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. And again, the ceremony that is planned is for June 21st. You can read about it on my website just by going down to Chief Arvel Looking Horse's link, click on it, and do a little reading. It's merely, it seems, an extension of what we have already proven we know to be true, all of us, over the last couple of years. So, Chief, I would like to thank you for being here. It has been wonderful and an honor to have you on the air.
Oh, thanks a lot.
And I wish you luck with your day of prayer, and I sure wish you luck with your concert as well.
Yeah, that's all right. Thank you. Thanks for letting us be on the air with you. And world peace and prayer, because that's the responsibility for all people of many nations.
Good night, sir.
Yeah, good night.
We'll be right back.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S. First, dial your access number to the USA. Then, 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255 or call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
Certainly is. Can you tell I found some new bumper music, huh? I want to thank the person who sent it along when I talked about ELO. Anyway, welcome back into the final hour of Coast to Coast AM, either the final hour or, depending on what you get, perhaps the first hour or the second hour. It's all getting mixed up. This would be if you're listening tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, or tonight, if you're hearing this tomorrow, oh, Lordy, this is getting confusing. We're going to have Lance Henriksen from Millennium in the second hour at 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock. Matter of fact, we've got a whole line of guests actually coming up for you. But in the second hour, we're going to be talking to a biotoxicologist. We're going to be talking to a man about the Gulf War disease. We're going to be talking to the man about the possibility of what we may be facing as a nation at nearly any moment. Or maybe we've already faced it. At any rate, there'll be a kind of continuity in tomorrow night's show, which will feed into the next night's show, which will be actually after Millennium has been on. I have a part in an episode of Millennium coming up this Friday. In other words, tomorrow in most time zones. And you might check your TV guide. It's on at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. I don't know. It's on Fox. So just check and you'll see the time and you will see me in there indeed. But more than my being in this episode, pay attention to what the episode is about. And then sort of put that together with what we do tomorrow night. That's what I'm suggesting. We'll be right back. Go. We've got a final hour ahead of us of complete open lines. Anything you would like to talk about is, of course, fair game. So here we go. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I on the air?
Well, you better be or I'm not, and we're all in trouble.
All right. I'm a Cherokee shaman, and I do the sun calendar for the Pink Clan.
You're going over my head already.
Okay, I thought you might be interested in what the sun calendar says for June the 21st.
What does it say?
June 21st, 1999, fathers and men generally are exhausted, having expended all they are able for the women in their lives. A pause in material prosperity, riches are exhausted, with some concerns over inheritances, as prominent men have passed on as a result of their strenuous efforts last week. Many women are newly pregnant. War efforts collapse. So
of course, it's summer solstice, you know, June 21st.
It might be an interesting time for a peace prayer.
That's, I think, what the chief was suggesting, and I happen to agree. I appreciate the call, sir. We did more than two experiments that sobered me seriously in terms of their effect. And as you well know, I stopped. But it may be that Arvel Looking Horse, Chief Looking Horse has the right idea at the right time to prevent what otherwise will occur. Does that sound like mumbo-jumbo? I suppose to some people it does. I wouldn't know what it would be. Nuclear war? Some sort of ecological disaster? I feel the black cloud that he speaks of, and I felt it for some time. So I'm going to do some thinking about this, but it seems like a reasonable course of action to me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, sir.
Okay, I wanted to comment on something that I found. I did some Indian ceremonies, Native American ceremonies.
Yes.
And I found out that in the Bible, in Deuteronomy,
yes,
in chapter 32, line 26, it says, I will scatter them.
We generally don't allow direct quoting of the Bible here.
Well, but it has to do with the Native ceremonies.
I understand. Just out of curiosity, why would a Christian biblical scripture...
It's from the Hebrew.
It's from Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the word, I will scatter them, is ha-peo-im, the derivative of the word pea or peot.
I see. Back to peyote.
Right, and it refers to line 32 of 32, which in English refers to the grapes of wrath, which refers to the bitter herb. And the bitter herb was hidden and would be coming out at this time as the punishment and the blessing. And it's referred to in line 32:26 and 32:32.
All right, I appreciate the information, sir. Thank you. June 21st, now we've got another date to worry about, huh? Think about, be concerned about. It's going to be a very interesting year. 1999 is really going to be an interesting year. It has begun on kind of a terribly sad note for me. Just hours ago, one of my best friends passed away. Completely unexpectedly. Just like that. All in all, in some ways, not a bad way to go. And it's the ones, of course, that are left here that do all the grieving. And I assume that one way or the other, he's beyond the grieving. He's either someplace or no place. I hope someplace. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Billy from Mobile, Alabama.
Yes, Billy.
Laissez-les bon temps rouler from the city of Mobile, founding of Mardi Gras here.
Yes, sir.
My birthday is on June 21st, and I've been having some terribly powerful dreams about a black sky and a red sun and a silver bird like an eagle or a falcon with midnight blue eyes. And they've been rather disturbing. I kind of wondered if any of your audience had some of the similar dreams or whatever. I feel like I'm being drawn to a place, but I don't know where.
Well, look, I'll tell you this. My guest was talking about visions exactly like the ones you're talking about, and so I don't have anything to offer except to say that apparently many people are having similar visions, and this has meaning.
Right, right. I felt, you know, drawn maybe to Stonehenge. I'm not real sure, but maybe if some of your other audience members could call in and maybe enlighten me a little bit.
Maybe. I appreciate the call, sir. It's like the lady who was drawn to a certain physical location, she said, in Montana. It is interesting. The spiritual world is a very interesting place. You ought to try it every now and then. Most of us are stuck in this day-to-day race for survival and this competitive business world that we live in. And it's like a wall that separates us from what we probably ought to be thinking about and concentrating on. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Well, all right, sir. Welcome.
I got a story. I can't believe I got through. I was on the internet this afternoon, and I was sitting in front of my computer, and all the power went out in my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
As soon as the power came back on, I got back on. I got up on your webpage, found the Sea Crane Company, and ordered one of the Beijin radios.
This was after the power went out?
It was the power went out for about 45 minutes, and I thought it was like my wake-up call because I've been listening to your show and listening to the commercials about the Beijing, and
sure.
Then when the lights went out,
sure.
I said, this time to act.
I kind of wonder why it takes that for people to act. In other words, why is not my continual telling of the fact that the power is going to go out sufficient for people to act, and they wait until actually the power does go out, because that's a wake-up call, all right.
Well, I just feel very fortunate that it was just about 45 minutes.
Right.
And I was able, you know, to... But it's really scary. The lights go out. You open up the hallway to your apartment building, and everything's completely black. There's no elevators.
Yeah.
It's a real wake-up call, and I just feel real fortunate that it happened to me at this point, so I was able to call and order one of the radios.
You're right. Better now than later. I appreciate the call. Obvious cellular call, I might add. Yeah. Guy's right. Are you listening to him? Why would you want to wait until a true moment of need? Now, I'm being honest with you when I say I don't know about Y2K. I have listened and listened and listened to all kinds of different voices and people about Y2K, and you know what I'm beginning to conclude? I'm beginning to conclude that nobody really knows what the hell's going to happen. There are doomsayers, and Gary North would be the first to tell you he's probably over in that area. Ed Yordan, a little less so than him, but still very serious. Several other guests I've had on. Our own government, which doesn't seem to know what the hell's going to go on. We've got our president saying, guess what, Social Security is saved. Well, what about everything else? When do we get those announcements? The power grid is saved. The telephone system is secure. The banks are ready. The ATMs will operate. I haven't heard any of that. So I'm beginning to sort of conclude that Y2K could either be a catastrophic event, a non-event, or something anywhere in between. But anybody who doesn't realize at least the possibility that they could, for example, lose basic services and begin to act in at least minimal ways to protect themselves and their families, they're out of their minds. That's my view. International Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
This is Michael from Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Yeah.
I can't take your call, Michael, on this line. We're on an international line. I don't know how you got through here.
Well, I guess I just lucked out. I couldn't get through on the other ones.
Yeah, but you shouldn't even be able to get through on this line.
All right. It went right through on my cellular.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, you're on a cellular. Well, all right. Anyway, since you somehow did it, what's on your mind?
Okay. I don't know if you saw it the other day, but they had here in the paper here in Philadelphia that the Fed was printing an additional $70 billion in currency.
Well, I had heard $50 billion. Now,
they had it in the paper, 70.
Oh, 70. Well, they've upped the figure a little bit. CNN is running a survey that says 47% of the American people plan to go to the money, the bank and draw out money for Y2K.
Yeah, I believe it.
Now, if 47% of the people do that, there is not enough money.
Oh, I know. If everybody goes to withdrawal, it could be a big problem.
No, just that percentage, not everybody. 47% of people with money in the bank.
Oh, well, they don't have enough for that either, right?
That's right. They don't.
And one other thing.
So there's going to have to be some kind of massive, you know, let's say for just for the sake of conversation that Y2K is not real and that nothing bad is going to happen. Then there's going to have to be a massive PR campaign to calm people so that even if nothing else is wrong, we don't create our own worst nightmare.
True.
Yeah. Anyway, you had something else?
Oh, yeah, one other thing. The city of Philadelphia, they had a very small article in the paper here, and they said that, that was last Sunday's paper, that they were buying generators just to be on the safe side.
Just to be on the safe side?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which, you know, if they're going to do that, they must have an idea of something.
So. I've got to agree with you. You know, when you see cities beginning to make investments like large generators, then you've got to ask yourself, what do they know? Because they don't go out and spend money just for grins. I mean, they know something.
That's right.
I appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. That's Philadelphia. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Art. It's Paul in Philadelphia.
Hi, Paul.
How are you doing?
Two calls from Philadelphia right in a row.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
It is.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, you're always saying you don't know, you know, if we live or die after we die or whatever.
In other words,
and,
I don't know whether there is a continued existence, of course.
Right. I want to say, well, two things I was thinking. One thing that I would suggest is that I think that, like, a lot of times, you know, you struggle for an answer, like I hear you struggling.
Yes.
And I keep thinking that all you really need to do is to ask, like, consider that maybe God is there with you in your mind and ask God and wait for an answer. Like, maybe you've done that already, I don't know. But I always find that if I ask and I wait, that I can generally find out what I want to know. It may take years, but it seems true to me that, and I mean, you know, like, it's real difficult if you figure, like, you know, that you yourself or me, myself, we have to find the answer. And I think a lot of times it's just a question of waiting and seeing what happens. And that requires a certain amount of faith. And in the exercise of that faith, then the answer comes, if you follow my drift. You see what I mean?
I follow your drift.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have had these moments with myself.
Uh-huh.
And I have never received the kind of answer you're talking about.
Well, it doesn't come necessarily in any sort of logical sequence, and it doesn't even come when one expects it. And as I say, it's taken me years to realize things, but I've said to God years ago, like, tell me what the truth is about, you know, life after death or whatever. And I feel like for myself, I've gotten answers. Like, for me, of course we exist. We exist forever, each of us. I mean, we may forget, just like we forget when we sleep, we forget what we dreamed, but here we are again. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really all it is, Art. And if there's a cycle to life, I think that cycle continues, and I think it's a good cycle. I think it's a good cycle, and I think that one of the scariest things is that whole idea that maybe it's really a bad cycle and we don't know it. And I think that all of us need to, you know, one of the ways to pray for the earth is to remember that things are can be put on a good cycle, and they don't have to be thought of as a thing that we have to prevent the bad thing from happening, because the way to prevent the bad thing from happening is to understand that things can be good.
All right, well, all I've got
that
to,
sort of thing.
All I've got to offer is this.
Yeah.
It better be true that a smaller number of people thinking positive thoughts all at once as a force can turn around what otherwise I see occurring.
Oh, yeah. Can I say one more thing real quick?
Because if that's not true, we're toast. Real quick.
Yeah. The problem is that you watch the news all the time, and if I watch the news all the time, I'd feel just like you. But I'll tell you, so I appreciate that you do, but I could imagine that. I mean, I feel
well,
like
that. You've got to understand, it's my job to watch the news. We'll be right back.
It's been a too long time with no peace of mind. And I'm ready for the times to get better. I've got to tell you, I've been racking my brain, hoping to find a way out. I've had enough of this continual rain.
Said he's gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I am just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than the 24 hours in the day.
From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Just over the hill, it's all there.
I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time.
Yeah, that's our Las Vegas. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. Kind of having a rough morning, actually. Such a good friend of mine gone. Yeah, literally, I got word a couple of minutes before I went on the air. And it's just something to really struggle with. I'm glad I had Chief Arvel Looking Horse here. Otherwise, I probably would have burdened you with talking about what I'm feeling, because I can't seem to help it. John Pyre, gone. Good friend of mine. Retired FBI agent, really a good man, family man. He leaves a wife and children and lives across town. He was here yesterday afternoon, you know. He was vibrant, alive, well. And then, boom, he's gone. Massive heart attack. That's it. Gone. And what that should be for everybody, although you don't, you know, you feel my personal loss, and a lot of you have gone through this with family and friends, it's got to be a kind of a wake-up call that it's a very limited slot of time we have here. Indeed limited, and you're not going to know the moment when it's over. It is an interesting life, isn't it? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. Get good and close to the phone because you're not too loud.
Okay.
And turn your radio off.
Radio's off?
That's good.
This is Paul. I'm listening on KWHN in Fort Smith.
Yes, sir.
And earlier you talked about changing the extension for websites to a certain designation.
Well, we have .com for commercial sites, right, and .org for non-commercial sites. So why not .XXX for pornographic sites?
Well, there's a flaw with that.
Let's hear it.
And that is, say I have a personal homepage, and
okay.
Say I have pornography on it. That won't catch that.
Yes, it will, because if you have pornography on your personal page, then you would be required by law to register as a XXX designation. Obviously, if you violated the law, that's your problem.
Sure.
So you're right. I mean, there is that hole in it, but basically, it's going to solve most of it.
I mean, yeah, we think of a lot of sites out there that, you know, the big, you know, pay for porn and all that kind of stuff, but there are a myriad of sites out there, personal home pages, links
yep.
from
yep.
Hosiery manufacturers,
yep.
A number of different places that
I
all
know.
Have links to those places that
I know.
That wouldn't be you know, as prominent as some of the others. And
I know, but it's like anything else. If you've got it on the site and you didn't register as you were required to by law, then you'd be in trouble.
Sure.
I mean, it's not my idea. This is my webmaster's idea, Keith Rowland.
He's pretty sharp, too, so.
Yeah, and I'm just waiting for a real hole. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Obviously, some people are always going to break the law.
Right.
But
and then what do you do about news groups and stuff like that? I mean, there's a whole other...
yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. News groups, there's a problem.
FTP site.
Yeah, I mean, you can pass any sort of digital material through any of these sites. You can put them on news groups as in certain kinds of files. It can be decoded.
Think about the creativity. Those three guys that you had on that one night, hacker guys.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty creative bunch, and there's a lot of folks out there like that, and if they're going to get into that kind of stuff, they're going to... Yeah, find a way one way or another.
You've brought up a couple of very good holes, and I appreciate it. Thank you. He's right. What do you do about news groups? What do you do? Porn can be passed as all kinds of files and FTP sites. He's right about that, too. And all of this is Greek to people who don't know about computers. But he's really right. What the hell do we do about all of this? I'm honestly not sure. I know that we should do something, though. I don't think that children should have unlimited access to pornographic sites. And it's easy to say, well, the parents ought to control it, and sure they ought to. But let's recognize the reality of the world that we live in today. A lot of parents are working. The kids are latchkey, they come home, there's the computer. And there you go. So what do we do? I don't know. It is a society-wide consideration and problem that we've got to face. Or maybe we just throw up our hands and we say, there's the First Amendment. And anybody can write or do anything they want. And I'm a staunch firm believer in that. Except when it comes to children, little children. You don't give them matches, you don't give them dynamite, you don't let them play with electricity that could kill them. You try and protect them in ways that only adults can know about, things that will get them killed or make them sick, or in some way you try and do something for the children. Protect them in some way. So, I don't know. I don't know. What do? You tell me. International Line, you're on. Would have been on the air. We missed you. Sorry about that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
I'm sorry to hear about your friend.
Yes, thank you.
I hope that you don't grieve too much because he may be in a very good space. But
I hope that's right.
He probably is. I wanted to speak about reincarnation for a moment. Is that possible?
Yes.
couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to study documented medical journals from India. I've heard a couple of times on your show that there's people have made comments that there has been no definitive information, nothing really established information from any established source that documents actual reincarnation. But in India, medical journals, very highly acclaimed doctors have done extensive medical journals of cases of reincarnation of children 2-3 years old who have complete memory of past lives, in which they go and they check out the past lives because the wife and children are still alive. There have been actually also children coming out of the womb speaking multiple languages right out of the womb. And as far as I'm concerned, I studied scores and scores of it.
Do you know Stanton Friedman, the nuclear physicist that I have on from time to time? You ever
I don't know him.
Well, but you've heard him.
Probably.
Well, he talks about things that he puts in his gray basket. Meaning he's not exactly sure about it one way or the other. For me, the afterlife and even reincarnation, they're in that gray basket. I think reincarnation is an absolute possibility.
I think it's an absolute fact. It's validated. It's documented journals. These men did extreme studies for years and years. If there's any other explanation how these children are able to realize the past and speak other dialects, that they don't, that's more bizarre than reincarnation. And also, I wanted just your statement on this little your comment on this little statement. The destiny of eternity is determined moment by moment by the actions of your day-by-day living. Your acts of today is your destiny of tomorrow.
I understand that. But that is why I am so concerned about our present path, because most of the actions of today, and I'm afraid tomorrow, are in the negative column, and it better be true that a few people concentrating on something good can have a lot more power than what I see going on right now spiritually in the world. Otherwise, as I told an earlier caller, we're toast.
Well, Lord, the light of one small candle casts away much darkness, and when the light of the sun comes up, there's no room for the darkness. It catches and dispels the darkness, and it's completely true that 10 people of powerful force, or even one individual of extreme powerful force, can override a million negative forces. I truly believe that. To me, it's factual.
Well, that's...
And I wanted to ask you one question before you cut me off.
Yep.
I know you get tons and tons of mail. This is Amadeus, and I just wanted to know if you received my package that I sent you.
Yes.
Oh, great.
I did.
Okay.
Amadeus, thank you.
And don't feel bad about your... You know, like in New Orleans, where they have a tendency to, when somebody passes away, instead of mourning...
They party.
Yeah, and they do that because that elevates the soul. I had read some stuff. When John Lennon passed away, there was a great outpouring of love throughout the world. And I had read some stuff a week after he passed away. Now, I don't know if it's real or not, but it seemed very real. It was channeled material. And I'm neither here nor there with channeled material either. But in it, he gave specific messages to specific people. And he said if it was Lennon actually channeling... He said that because of the outpouring of love throughout the world, he found himself in such an incredible space of being basically omnipresent and everywhere all at one time, and it was overwhelming to him. And that was because of the love that was put out. And
all right, well, listen, I've got to go, but okay. I'll tell you, I would put that also in my gray basket. I have a great big gray basket. In fact, frankly, a lot of times that's all I've got is a big gray basket full of stuff. And I think that's how I'm able to weave my way through what I do on the air, because I just don't know myself about these things. I can't absolutely commit to something that I can't absolutely prove, which is an absolutely terrible position to be in. So don't envy me at all. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Well, my condolences for your friend.
Thank you.
That's really sad to hear.
It is.
I was wondering if you had thought about bringing up the time traveler line again. And if you've heard from
Single Seven. You know I'll do that.
Have you heard from Single Seven recently?
No. But I've not had a line open for time travelers recently either.
Yeah, because I was just going through your website, and by the way, my compliments to Keith Rowland. He's just done an amazing job with your site.
He has.
He's a really, really great webmaster. I'm not sure where you find anybody else like him.
You don't. By the way, do you have any thoughts on this big... There's a big thing in front of the Supreme Court right now about internet porn.
Internet porn, yes. I'm a net junkie myself.
Well, okay, then good. What do you think about this? I mean, on the one side, we have all these children who are getting on computers as soon as they can reach a mouse.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we have the First Amendment, and we have all of this stuff uncontrolled on the net. You know it as well as I do. It's all over the place.
Oh, I know it. Believe me.
So, the freedom, children. Freedom,
well,
children.
I think there's a fine line in there. I think that children will find anything that they're able to, no matter what, because as you said, there are people who break the law. And I think that the Triple X idea is very good, and I think that would be a great idea, and it would make software a lot easier to cut off. I mean, they have that now for, like, MSIE and things like that, but...
It really would. I mean, the parents at least could take what browsers they have and restrict them from those designations.
Well, they try to do it now. I think I'm not sure how well it works. I've never needed to do it because I live by myself, but...
Well, I don't think it works very well because the domains are not separated.
Yeah, that's the problem. As you said, you get all these, you know, these personal websites and things like that. But I think the Triple X idea would definitely work. It would definitely make things easier. The news groups and the FTP sites, well, chances are that if you are, if you have children in the house, I don't think that if you don't want them to have access to news groups, you can simply not install a news group program on your system or put password protect it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, well, all right.
As far as FTP sites go, they're just IP addresses, so.
I appreciate that. Thank you. That's a pretty good thought. I mean, the Triple X idea is the best I've heard yet. And there are always holes in everything, but... And I'll tell you what, some of the response I've had is, well, the government would keep special watch on the Triple X domains. But I don't think so. Not any more than they do now. If the government wants to look at a certain site on the Internet, you know damn well they do it. Right? And there are so many Triple X sites that I think they would have no more interest in monitoring the activities of these sites than they have presently. That isn't to say they don't have interest. I just don't think that it would dramatically increase or change in any way if there was a Triple X domain. Think, I almost got through an entire night without interrupting myself, and then at the last possible moment, did myself in. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art Bell.
Yes.
This is Greg in St. Louis on the big 550 KTRS. I spoke to you recently about my satellite project idea for deep space to modify the climate. Do you recall?
Oh, I do. You were talking about the shield, right?
Yeah. Well, it would be like a big, large, flat...
screen.
Window, sort of.
Yeah.
I call it a weather window.
Yeah.
The
only... turn off your radio, first of all.
Okay.
Let me tell you, several people responded to what you said.
Yeah.
And they said, well, this has already been thought of, and the problem is that you would have to be so close to the source of the sun, the light, the heat,
uh-huh,
that nothing we know of now could withstand it.
So close to the sun?
Yes.
So make it a smaller size, or?
Well.
I was thinking something maybe about four times the distance of the moon out, but it would be very lightweight plastic components and all.
Yes.
And very easy to assemble and low cost.
What are you punching?
I forgot to tell you a couple of things about the idea. I did send it to the appropriate science committees in Washington.
And?
Senator Frist. I haven't got a response from him yet, but Congressman Sensenbrenner heads the House Science Committee. They wrote back.
And?
They wrote back that the environmental impact study costs would be too high that the committee couldn't finance it themselves, but the NASA has...
Sounds like you're punching something. What are you doing?
I am. I'm at work. I'm in a convenience store.
Oh, I see.
I got a problem with a punch here. Right.
All right, listen, the program is ending, sir, and we don't have time anyway to finish this. The man has an idea which may have merit. I really don't know. When he said it the first time, I thought it had merit, and I still do. Now, the criticism was that whatever it was would have to be too close to the sun. He's essentially talking about a filter, something that would filter sunlight, just in case we really get into trouble with the ozone, which we could be doing at the moment. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. Turn your radio off, please.
I did.
That's good. Where are you?
Sacramento.
Sacramento. All
right. California.
Yes.
At KST.
Yes.
I just thought about this, you running over yourself.
There's no hope.
Now, wait a minute. One of you have got to move out of the room.
There's just no hope.
Good night, Art.
Good night, sir, and good night to everybody. And John, wherever you are right now, I guess I will always remember you as I saw you yesterday, and I treasure the fact that I did. Life, ain't it something, folks? For now, that's all there is from the high desert. I think I may go have a good, stiff drink. Good night.